Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Happy 4th of July. I know
happy
everybody's looking to celebrate later on today. But we are going to get started right now with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, July 4th. Keyword is freedom. The affirmation is, in thought, word, and action, I celebrate my freedom. There are many ways to feel free. I may work hard to become financially free. I may plan trips so I can freely explore the world. I may commit to learning for intellectual freedom or exercise my body for greater freedom in movement. Even as I do my work in the world to know freedom, I remember that I am always free at the level of spirit. No situation or circumstance has power over me. Every day and in every area of my life, I live from my divine nature, where I am wholly and completely free. Through my inner powers of understanding and faith, I recognize and embrace empowering beliefs. My spiritual gifts of strength and release keep me on course and help me free myself from habits that derail my spiritual growth. Through God within, I am grateful to be free. And the scripture is Galatians 5:1, and it reads, "For freedom Christ has set us free." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. Well, good morning again. And I just want to bring this slide up real quick. We showed this last week. This is in response to a lot of people saying to us, you know, we watch you on YouTube, and at the end of the session, we don't know how to contribute. So this slide will be available for you to refer back to, you know, at a later time. So we are talking today about divine discontent. Now, if you were looking at the, the e-newsletter or the weekly update, you saw that there was another title. And it was, I Forgot, I Remembered, I Understand. And, you know, again, you probably heard me say this before, I give these titles out before I really know what I'm going to talk about. And when it came time to, you know, sit down and create the talk, this other thought came to me. So I have to do that talk another time, and this one's going to be called, this is called Divine Discontent. And you know, it's interesting how the lessons we explore in the pre-pandemic years have a more in-depth meaning as we're moving cautiously into yet unknown post-pandemic era. So what we were studying before the pandemic, I think will have a different impact as we think about these ideas post-pandemic, especially because we're moving into this, like I said, yet unknown era that we're moving into, okay? And I call it unknown because there's still a lot of uncertainty about what is to come, and we're not really sure. You know, we have some ideas, some thoughts, but we're not really sure what is to come. And if we think about it, our period of isolation, specifically if you think about your period of isolation, your individual, each person who's listening, think about your period of isolation. As I have been thinking about my period of isolation, you know, we all had time to think about two questions. One is, what is really important to me now, right? Post-pandemic, as opposed to what was important to me pre-pandemic. And the other question is, what do I want, you know, my life to look like, all right? Because we had time to think about choices, and that's what this divine discontent lesson is going to be all about. It is possible that as we begin to cautiously emerge from isolation, many of us may be experiencing what is called this idea again of divine discontent. There is something going on inside of you that's saying, there's got to be more to life than what I was doing before. And this is a longing to do something more than, again, what you have been doing, and also to become something more than what you were. And this is not to say that we weren't great before this, you know, maybe even before the pandemic hit. You were thinking life was great, everything was good, you know, but then you had time to think about your life, and it caused you to sort of reevaluate some things, and now you're beginning to question, what is it like to, what I want life to be like, you know, post-pandemic. And that's what we're calling this divine discontent, right? It has to do with wanting to explore a different, deeper aspect of yourself. That's something about you that you wondered about, dreamed about, but never really explored. And I hope you understand what I mean, because that, I know personally, that's probably where this talk came out of, my own dynamic of what do I want really now, you know, after I've had time of isolation to think about it. And the dictionary defines discontent as a restless longing, all right? So divine discontent is a restless longing to explore and express your innermost dreams and desires, especially those dreams and desires you thought were not possible for you, okay? Now, as Emerson said, and I know I've used this quote before, we each know at a deeper level that we have music within us that hasn't yet been played. So we long for experiences that will allow us to discover and play our unplayed music, you know, those things in life you always wanted to do, but you just never could sort of could get yourself to do it. And how many of you have an inner knowing that these dreams within you that have not yet been expressed, you know, are you aware of those dynamics? And the thing is, because in the past we could not express many of them, we did that Sigmund Freud thing of sort of repressing them down into our subconscious realm of mind. But with all the time we had to think in these past 15 months, a lot of that stuff probably percolated back up, okay? So how many of us have lived our lives in a way that stifled our dreams because we felt we had to take a particular route for practical reasons, you know? And you might be able to still hear your parents in your head, no matter how old we are, saying, oh, you know, you gotta get this kind of job for practical reasons. You need to work for the government. You need to, you know, get this job, and a good 9-to-5 job for practical reasons. So how many of us have stifled our dreams and lived our lives for practical reasons? And then feeling the need to play it safe by living the practical life, you know? And if you've done that, it may have dampened your dreams. And did any of you ever see the movie Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams, a really old movie? And his companion, Sergeant Edward Gerlich, I can't believe I still remember that name, is riding a bike into town and he loses control and he falls off, landing inches away from being hit by a truck. Well, later he says to the character Robin Williams, he's talking to him, he says, you know, while I was laying there watching that truck come towards me, my whole life passed before my eyes. And you know what scared me more than anything else? It wasn't even interesting, right? So that's what we're looking at is, are there things in our lives that would have created a great amount of interest that would have sort of satisfied our soul's need as opposed to that which is practical? And, you know, Mary Manning Morrissey, in her book, Building Your Dreams, she asks this question. She says, how alive do you feel in your body, in your relationships, okay, in your work? If you're feeling restless, that could be God's voice speaking to you saying, I've got so much more for you to do, to be, to have. So don't just settle. There is so much more for you to experience, okay? So I believe many of us have felt some discontent with some aspect of our lives, all right? And many of us up to this point in our lives may have been dishonoring our divine discontent. And this lesson is about learning how to honor your discontent, realizing that your inner yearnings may be God's way of letting you know that there is more in store for your life. However, and this is, you know, this is an important however. The more that we're talking about here, you know, is not the same as what we may have been dreaming about. Okay. By more, we usually think of more as being something material. But more from God usually does not come in the form of material good. More from God usually comes in the form of spiritual good. Now, by spiritual good, I'm referring to experiences that raise our level of consciousness from where we are now to a mental, emotional place within us that is filled with new beginnings, all right? And, you know, to help us understand this divine process, we must continuously be mindful of the word God when we're talking about this. So when we say divine discontent is God trying to move us or urge us in to understand the deeper aspects of ourselves and experience things that we may have been holding back from. So when we use that word God, we have to keep in our mind, stay mindful that we're not referring to a person, all right? But rather God is the creative spirit that dwells within us as life and wisdom and personal power, meaning the power to be able to do all things that we believe we can do, okay? And the good that God is comes in the form of experiences that reshape us, they awaken us, and they prepare us to achieve and receive the fulfillment of our innermost desires. So, in a sense, God is not thinking about the fact that you need a new car, or a more exciting job, or a better place to live, or more money. You know, none of those things. All, you know, all the things we think about and we say, oh God, please help me get that. That's not what God's thinking about. That's not the divine discontent aspect. All this, that this divine principle knows is that we have the capacity to use this inner creative power to guide us to fulfilling our divine discontent, which can lead to the material and spiritual satisfaction that we're looking for. Okay, so let me just kind of reemphasize again. That's the scripture: seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all these other things will be given unto you. Okay. So I think we have all experienced getting all those things we wanted, but still having divine discontent because it did not satisfy us at a deep spiritual level, all right? So to help us understand this, again, Mary Manning Morrison tells the story of being, and you might have heard this story because it's kind of a well-known story. She was in Tibet having a private audience with the Dalai Lama, with others who also were considered major contributors to the good of humankind. This was a well-known story. And the Dalai Lama came in and he asked them to create a list of the 5 most important issues facing the world today. And then he left. So when he completed the list, he was notified. And when he returned, the group shared, you know, from their perspective, 5 major issues facing humankind today. They said number 1 was the environment. Number 2, the widening gap between the rich and the poor. We all know that one. Number 3, the oppressed women and children and making sure that the children of the world were fed and educated. Okay. Number 4, racism and religious segregation. And number 5 was spirituality. So the Dalai Lama agreed that they all were worthy considerations. But he said the only one that really mattered was developing our spirituality. That's the idea again about seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. He said, if we all focus our energy on developing our spirituality, all the other dilemmas would take care of themselves. Okay? In essence, our inability to fulfill our divine discontent comes from our inability to connect with life and with each other on a spiritual level. So it is possible that we have worked so hard all of our lives at making a living that we may have lost touch with our spirituality along the way and began instead to connect with fear, worry, anxiety that comes from our sense of uncertainty. Okay, and in the last couple of weeks, I've used that word a lot, that the anxiety within us comes from this sense of uncertainty. And we're often fearful that we will either lose the material things and the material life that we have, or not be able to attain the material things and material life that we want, okay? But the point we may be missing is that the divine discontent we are exploring is not about obtaining material things, okay? The divine discontent we are exploring is the inner urging to begin a journey that will lead us to discovering the deeper untapped aspects of ourselves that will bring us closer and closer to discovering our own divinity, okay? Now, let me say that again. Our divine discontent is not so much about obtaining the material things we desire as it is about igniting the desire to take the divine journey to discover our own innate divine potential. So, individually, our divine discontent is igniting our desire to begin a new and different kind of journey, okay? A journey that may very possibly lead to new material gains that we want. But always keep in mind that the material obtainment or the obtainment of material things we want is not the purpose of our divine discontent. The purpose of mine and your divine discontent is to send us on a spiritual quest into the depths of ourselves. So let me make that more personal. The purpose of your divine discontent is to send you on a spiritual quest into the depths of yourself. So the purpose of my divine discontent is to send me on a spiritual quest into the depths of myself, okay? And if you take the journey seriously, it will help you close the gap between your old self and that self that you are destined to become, okay? Because a lot of times what's happening is we're trying to hold on to the old self as we're taking this journey to try to discover our new self. But the process here is to close that gap, okay? You're letting that old self go so that you have the wherewithal to move to discovering that, you know, your own inner destiny. So your divine discontent exists because there is a gap between who you think you are and who you are destined to become as you move closer to discovering your own divinity, okay? But the greatest enemy we have to exploring our divine discontent is the memory of our history. You know what I mean. It's the, I've tried that before and it didn't work thinking, okay? Or I tried that before and I got hurt thinking. Or whatever your history might be that's holding you back, okay? Because I know every one of us listening has that divine discontent, that urging to become something or experience something you have not been able to do before. But our history a lot of times keeps us from doing that. But to allow the exploration of our divine discontent to occur, we must learn how to live, now listen to this, from our edge and not from our history, okay? See, your edge is right here, right now. You're standing right on the cliff of letting go of where you were and moving forward to that which you have within your heart, mind, and spirit that you always wanted to experience, okay? So you're right on that edge. We are right on the edge. You're on the edge. I'm on the edge. We constantly live on the edge of a new beginning, the edge of a new journey, the edge of a new discovery about our own divine self. But it is our history that holds us back from taking that faithful step off the edge. I don't know how many people remember that movie with Harrison Ford. What is it? I can't think of. Yeah, I can't think of the. It was a series of movies. But he had this. He was standing.
Temple of Doom or something like that.
Yeah, Temple of Doom. I think that was it. Standing on the edge, but where he was stepping into looked like nothing. But he had to step out in faith. And when he stepped out in faith, what was nothing actually was something for him to put his foot on in safety.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Yes. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay. So it's only when we develop the strength, faith, and courage to live from our edge instead of our history that we'll discover that we are always being rejuvenated by spirit, okay? So again, that we're being rejuvenated, we're being held up, all right? And we're being inspired to grow into a greater awareness of our true divine potential. But first we have to get past our history, that within us, which keeps us feeling stuck in a habitual pattern, okay? Doing the same thing over and over again, even if we change scenery, change design, change whatever, a lot of times we look at it, we say, well, really, this is just the same old thing, you know, in a different color, right? Now, listen to this story, all right? And you might have heard this story before. You might even kind of know it as I'm talking about it. So there is this, again, it's a well-known story of two men fishing on different sides of the lake. Now, one man noticed that the other man was catching a lot of fish, but he would catch the fish, measure it, keep the small ones, and throw the bigger ones back into the water. Now, finally, the man couldn't stand it anymore, and he went over to the other man, and he asked him, why is it that you're measuring the fish, keeping the small ones, and throwing the big ones back? Well, the man explained that the ruler that he was using was the size of his small frying pan, and he was only keeping the fish that could fit into his frying pan. Okay? Now, of course, we immediately would ask, you know, why couldn't he just cut up the bigger fish to fit into the pan, or just get a bigger frying pan? Right? Now, however, we each are probably guilty of the same thing. How many times have we thrown the big ideas we've received from Spirit back into the deep ocean of our mind because the idea was larger than our frying pan, meaning larger than our present ability to believe that we were capable of handling the idea, right? And the secret to understanding how to work with divine ideas is to understand that if you think you know all there is to know about how to make something happen, then this typically is not the result of divine discontent. Okay? A path in which you already know all that's involved is merely a goal, whereas divine discontent ignites your heart's desire and sends you on a journey of which you are uncertain as to where to go and what to do. It is where you have the faith and the courage to look uncertainty in the eye and move forward anyway. That's divine discontent. And divine discontent produces ideas that spring from the depths of your being and put you on a journey where you know that you need God's help, right? If you don't think you need God's help, like I said, that's not divine discontent. That's something that was in your wheelhouse, or your intellectual wheelhouse already. We're talking about things that are outside of your intellectual wheelhouse. They're in your heart, but your head can't really help you with it, okay? So your inner spirit presents you with an idea, a yearning, a desire that will not fit into your present frying pan, meaning your present state of mind. So you embark on a journey of uncertainty that requires you to grow, okay? A journey which requires you to play the music within you that you have not yet played, okay? And the way to test a desire to see if it is a spiritual, see if it has a spiritual magnitude to be considered the product of divine discontent is to ask yourself these five questions, okay? The first one is, when I think about the fulfillment of this desire, do I feel more alive? The second, am I going to have to expand and grow in consciousness in order to manifest this desire? Third, do I need God to co-create with me? Fourth, does this desire align with my core values? And five, is there good in this desire for others as well? Okay. So the critical key ingredient to beginning the journey ignited by your divine discontent is that you must connect to a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. In order to embark on this journey, you know, to try to follow where this divine discontent is leading you, you must connect to a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, as Jesus said in John 5:19, on my own, I can do nothing. Okay? Now, how to connect to the Holy Spirit was demonstrated by Jesus in Matthew 3:13-17. Okay? It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him to baptize him. Okay? So Jesus was beginning his journey in response to his divine discontent. I don't know if you know that's the reason why he came to John, because he knew he had to be about his Father's business. He knew he had to go out into the world and you know, be and share these incredible divine ideas that Spirit had given him. Right? So he was doing that in response to his own divine discontent, so he could discover his Heavenly Father's purpose for him. And in so doing, he went to one he knew could help him even though John saw Jesus as being greater than himself. Jesus knew, now listen carefully, he knew he needed John to get help him on his spiritual journey to honor his divine discontent. Okay? Now, John the Baptist represents that part of us which has an intellectual perception of truth. It is not the Christ, but it can baptize us, all right? So the intellectual perception of truth, and listen carefully, because we're always talking about the intellect, right? The intellectual perception of truth, it's not the Christ, but it can baptize us, meaning it can spiritually cleanse our mind of fear and doubt so that we can discern the truth that's seeking to reveal itself within us, all right? And this has demonstrated, this was demonstrated in the second part of this verse. It explains here that, and when he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay? So, when Jesus was baptized, his mind was made clean of any doubts he may have had about the spiritual journey he was about to take. Okay? He became fully open, receptive, and present for the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about. When you're, you know, when you're getting ready to embark on this journey to follow your divine discontent, you've got to make that connection with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was demonstrating you do it by being baptized by the Holy, by John the Baptist, who represents the intellectual perception of truth, even though it is not the Christ. It still will help cleanse you of that history that makes you fearful of stepping forward. Okay? And as a result, his relationship with God, Jesus' relationship with God was deepened. So when the voice from heaven proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son," the Son in this case is a representative of the conscious willingness of Jesus to be in relationship with God. And so it is with each one of us. When we decide to respond to the, you know, the divine discontent, okay, this ignites our desire to begin a new journey to release some of our indwelling divine potential. Okay? And this is equivalent to going to John the Baptist to be baptized of our past history and false doubts about our ability to succeed. And when we allow this John the Baptist mental emotional experience to free our mind of fear and doubt, we too will find ourselves in close relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the heavens of our mind will open up, and we will know this too will truly, that we truly are the Son of God and the daughter of God, the Son of God and the daughter of the living Spirit, okay? And nothing we need to succeed will be held back from us. That's the key. You sort of get this inner inspiration. And then when you get that inner true inspiration to move forward, to step forward, then you know you are in close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then you know that you are the Son of God, the daughter of God, and nothing is going to stop you from succeeding. So in your life, dare to honor your divine discontent and allow the Holy Spirit to take you on a journey of your life. And I'm going to leave you with this affirmation from Science of Mind magazine to help us with this process. And this affirmation is a little bit long, but again, you'll be able to stop, you know, the video and watch this. It says, "Today I trust that God is using all of me." Okay, oh, let me just bring that up so you can see it. Okay. "Today I trust that God is using all of me for the revelation of its wholeness in me." Let me say that again. "Today I trust that God is using all of me for the revelation of its wholeness in me." Okay, and I'm willing to move forward in my life, trusting that I will receive the guidance I need. I will be open to higher guidance, and I am willing to do what I am guided to do. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we are going to have meditation with Pamela.
Let's begin our guided meditation by finding that comfortable place right where you are. Enjoy this peaceful pause in your day. Mindfully and consciously take a deep breath. And as you breathe, relax the muscles in your face, relax your shoulders, and breathe out. Now close your eyes if it is comfortable for you to do so. Again, take that wonderful inhale, breathing in peace and exhaling tension. Breathe in stillness and breathe out stress. Just breathe. Now staying present to your breath, let us move to that place of communion we call the secret place of the Most High. This is the place in consciousness that knows peace, knows love, knows faith, and knows joy. As you reach the doorway, remember to release and let go of all emotional, mental, and physical baggage that is no longer serving you. Feel yourself entering this place that calls to us so often, and take a seat. Now notice what is occurring in your mind. Gently quiet the chatter and follow your breath as it leads you back to this moment. Please take the following words as your very own. Through the Christ mind and from an awareness of my oneness and the allness of God, I am unified in thought and purpose and inspired to right action for the benefit of all. The perfection of God directs my every thought and activity, bringing about perfect solutions and joyous progress. I express gratitude for the freedom I exercise and for the many blessings of democracy I enjoy in these United States. I affirm healing and wholeness for my country. I see our bonds of community repaired and restored, respect for every member of this society revived. I lift up our elected leaders and public servants, along with those who serve in the military and law enforcement. I deny and release thoughts of fear and separation, and affirm healing and unity with a common purpose, dedication and commitment to achieve freedom and justice for all, and a nation and a world that works for everyone, especially those who are most vulnerable in our midst. Today, gracious Spirit, I practice being my real self, a radiant channel overflowing with the perfect activity of God. In so doing, I do not deny others the same privilege, but seek to find in them the same miracle of life, the same wonder of being, and the same delight in existence. Today, I accept my partnership with the infinite, and all is well. Let's take our moment now and go into the silence. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Gracious Spirit, we are so grateful that you have heard our prayers today and you have answered them as you always do. We give thanks now in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and be ready for the rest of your day.
That was great. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our individual lives to also flow into our spiritual home, the place where we get our spiritual food from. We ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your heart, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And as it says at the bottom there, you know, we've been getting a lot of people asking, how do I give to Unity Center of Light, especially those who are listening on YouTube from all around the country. So we provided this slide. And again, I know you can't memorize it all right now, but it's there for your reference to go back to it another time. Okay. So now, hon, it's time to do
light notes.
Yes, okay.
Light notes for today, Sunday, July 4th. We'd like to let you know that we always invite you to join us on the weekdays, Monday through Friday, for a 15-minute prayer pause. That is keeping the high watch. It is so good to take a little time during the week to check in with your Unity family and to go into the silence together. So we hope that you will join us and see for yourself what a great benefit it is for your heart and your soul. So we'll see you at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Please check your updates and e-newsletters for the link. On July 11th, our special guest speaker will be Lily Sandberg. She will be with us virtually. Her topic is Faith or FOMO, A Look at Divine Timing. And here FOMO stands for the fear of missing out. Lily has spoken at Unity Center of Light before. We think she has a joyous spirit and she certainly enjoyed being with us previously. We're happy to welcome her back with us. Lily grew up in Unity and is currently in ministerial school at Unity Village. On July 18th, Laura Benning will be with us virtually as our guest speaker. If you love metaphysics and Bible interpretation, you will appreciate her passion for Bible meaning. So please mark your calendar for these two dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to add about Laura. She is considered one of the world's foremost experts on metaphysical interpretation of Bible. So this is really a treat for us. So please, you know, put that on your calendar. It was July 18th to join us to listen to her. And Lily was a delight the last time we had her, and we know that so many people have asked, you know, for us to have her back again. So we look forward to that. All right.
So now we bless the path.
Bless the path.
Yes.
All right.
So we bless the path that we will walk this week, and we say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, now we have
our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
Right. Okay. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And again, hopefully, if you have not been in Zoom and you get the weekly newsletter or the
the
e-newsletter or the weekly update, the Zoom link is in both of those. So please click on that right now if you're not in Zoom already and join us. And we look forward to seeing you there, hearing some great music, and getting together with your Unity friends. Other than that, enjoy this wonderful day and this week coming up, and we will see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.